The General Services Administration has set aside 1.5% of its personnel budget for training and reinvestment in skills for the next fiscal year. GSA Administrator Dan Tangerlini says the focus will be on customer relations and evolving with technology. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller caught up with Tangerlini at the National Contract Management Association's annual symposium. He asked about Tangerlini's relationship with the Office of Management and Budget's Deputy Director for Management, Beth Cobert, and some of the things they're working on together.
I think the really important thing to recognize is that GSA is really reflecting the management direction of the administration. And so President Obama said we need a 21st century government that delivers services in the way that people expect those services to be delivered. And Beth Cobert is the Deputy Director of Management is really kind of our leader in the management and administrative side of government and trying to find ways that we can come up with better solutions, that we can collaborate more, and we can get better outcomes. So the work we've done in benchmarking, for instance, is just a better way of getting more data so we can have a better understanding of where the best work is being done so that people can learn lessons from that.
I know the benchmarking actually is a heard people talk about several times over the last 6 or 8 months or so. And
right.
And just this summer, you guys came through. Now, you set up a portal where all the CIOs, CAOs, CFOs can get to that data. And what happens from there? How do they use it?
So that's the big question, right? How are they going to use it? We're talking about something that folks didn't have before. And in many ways, this is really going to enable the what we call the CX councils, the CFO council, the CAO council, the CICO council. It's really going to enable them to have some common data around which that they can build their conversations about how we can get better performance and outcomes. So we think that this is if you build it, they will come kind of exercise where people are going to actually have information they didn't have before. These are thoughtful, smart, committed people who really understand their work. We think that it's just going to help them be better at it.
One thing about when you build it, will they come, the question is, training and understanding, because a lot of times what happens in government is people are so overwhelmed by the day-to-day stuff and they don't know something's there. They don't know what they don't know. How do you ensure, how is OMB ensuring, or how is the council's ensuring that their members say, hey, you should look at this data and here's what types of decisions you may be able to make or at least consider making based on this data?
So Beth and I have been joking that we need to get concert T-shirts printed up with all the tours we've been doing at all the CX councils and at all the various different meetings. I think part of it is just getting the word out. But more importantly, I think the way to get people to actually engage and involve themselves with something is actually put them in at the ground level and developing it. So all the benchmarks were actually developed by each of the CX councils themselves and then collected across the councils. They've been normalized by the councils. They're working on better definitions, better quality outcomes. So what we've really done is actually turned it over to the folks who are going to use it to do it. And in many ways, they've gotten so intimate with the work of putting it together that they can't help but find ways to use it.
I know the benchmark initiative is one of the cross-agency priority goals. What should people look out for in 2015 as we're just launching this fiscal year?
I think really what we're interested in doing is using data and leveraging our technology investments in such a way that we can get better outcomes and more efficiency, that people don't have to build everything from scratch, that they can learn from the best of what's happening out there, and that we can have an informed conversation based on actual information about new and better ways to do things, or even old but better ways of doing things. I think in many ways that's why we've been pushing so hard, working closely with Ann Rung, the OFPP administrator, and Beth on this idea of category management. We've stood up three categories, IT services, IT software, IT hardware, and office supplies and administrative services. And what we're trying to do is make that those categories really robust source of information for folks. We've designed these category hallways where we're going to have a repository of all this common information. So a contracting officer, a contract manager, even a program manager can go into the hallway and begin to get an appreciation for what's out in the marketplace so that we can speed people's ability to get outcomes.
you bring up category management. I think there's a lot of both concern, consternation, and hope from, I think, the vendor community. I know at your level, from the administrator's perspective, it's sometimes you don't deal with that day-to-day. At least I'm going to make that assumption that you don't deal with the day-to-day pieces and parts of the category management. But what are you doing, or what can you do from your administrator's level to really put some of the vendors at ease? Because it's really, you know, you're moving their cheese, and people don't like their cheese moved, as you well know. How do you fix that? Say it's going to be okay, guys.
Yeah, although there's been a lot of complaining about the relative position of the cheese too. So I mean, I do know sometimes that the only thing worse than the status quo, and people complain bitterly about the status quo, is change. And what we're offering here is change. But I really think in all my conversations with the vendor community, the various different associations, groups like the one where we talked to yesterday, there is a real desire and interest in coming up with a better way of doing this work. There's got to be a more straightforward and simple way. And people can, you know, reach into their pocket and pull out their smartphone, and there's a better way to do almost everything today. And so we have to evolve as well. I think part of the way you get the message out, though, and kind of build support is to do what we're doing right now, is have these kinds of conversations and really dig into the issue and see if we can get more information out there so we can dispel myth and rumor.
And then I got to speak with Jeff Coase there, and he talked a lot about the industry GSA relationship. And GSA is doing several things between the Ombudsman for Industry and the Interact site and
right.
using more social media, and I think that's a good way. Let me turn on the other side, because within GSA, you're also making changes, and you have been. It's hard to believe that. I think April, you'll be 3 years
right.
since you've been at least acting GSA administrator, and not hard to believe in a bad way, just time goes by too quickly. Give me a sense of
maybe
internal.
Maybe for you.
Maybe for me. Well, I didn't walk into the situation you did, I guess. Give me a sense of what you're doing internally also to help people within GSA understand that the change is actually going to be a better thing more broadly.
I think at a fundamental level, one of the things that Tom has really pushed forward is really making sure that we invest in our employees. And so we have actually set aside for the coming fiscal year 1.5% of our entire personnel budget for training and for helping to upgrade the skills and, frankly, reinvest in the skills. I'll take back the word upgrade. We've got incredibly skilled folks, but they need to have access to the latest technology, the latest information, the latest systems. And so we're going to invest in that. We're gonna make the conscious, directed decision to invest in our employees so that they can be leaders in this change, and they can understand and support and help develop that change effort.
Now, is that 1.5% a proposal, or is that something that's definitely going to happen in 15?
No, it's definitely going to happen in 15. So the way the Federal Acquisition Service works,
we
do have more flexibility, but we have to live within our means. We only have the resources to the extent that people choose our products and they choose our solutions. And so we think that one of the ways that we'll be a more attractive partner for agencies to work with is by having, frankly, the best and most talented acquisition people in government working for us.
One last question related to that. You wrote back, about a year ago or 2 years ago now, 6 priority goals that you had. Each year you update them. Each year you look at them probably and say, what progress have we made? What's coming next? Give me a sense, what's your 2015 goals look like? What are you looking for? And I realize that at a macro level, it's going to be more of the same, buy smarter, buy better, more efficiency.
Yeah.
But can you go down maybe is that 50,000 foot, take me to 25,000 feet?
So the 6 high-level key goals of the agency are going to stay the same. I mean, they're fundamental to the work that we do. The question is, what are the new plays we're going to run, if you will, to actually deliver those outcomes? And I think what you're going to see is an increased emphasis on data and on collaboration, agency collaboration, and using the collection of data and the sharing of data as a way to incent and support agency collaboration. And so I think what you're going to see is OGP is going to continue their work, the Office of Government-Wide Policy is going to continue their work in data visualization. We're working closely with our pilot agencies, or the Commerce Department and the Treasury Department, to give them some data visualization tools to see how small businesses are being involved in the program, to see what the one bid rates are, so that we can drive down high-risk contracting and that we can push up competition within the contracting environment. I think you're going to see FAST continue down this line of building out the hallways, further reinforcing the categories. We're going to start trying to find leaders to be the heads of those categories and be the, you know, the world's foremost experts in those categories. And you're going to see an increased effort on the part of GSA to reach out to our agency partners to get them to participate in filling out the hallways. The hallways don't work if it's just GSA. That's just a different version of GSA Advantage, which wouldn't be bad. But we think that there's something that could be really tremendous here if we provided a common platform for all agencies to get the best information about acquisition activity.